Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long, where your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. As always, you got Mac here in the power chair, and on the line we have the disciple and Rahway Tommy. Tonight's episode, we take a look at the 2020 tie against the Washington Football Commanders, As always, we put Daniel Jones on trial and look ahead to next week's home game versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Rahway, take it away. Disciple and I were there in person for this debacle, whatever you want to call it. Let's hear from you. You had the eagle eyes on the TV.
How do you prepare for a podcast after a tie? I missed that day. You're up for a win. You're down for a loss. We're ready to kill the team. And Rome is burning. And then they tie. It could have been worse. But just sitting back at home, you watch as the game's going. You come back from down 10-0. You know, you're seeing guys that got back out on the field, whether it was Neal or Bellinger. These guys came back. They were helping. And then, you know, some decisions at the end that you just have you shaking your head because you had the game, and just things that you're at home watching that you see. The end of the game, we're calling our timeouts in overtime. Why do we wait 10 seconds on third down to call timeout? It seemed to me while I was watching the game, it was at least 7 to 10 seconds off the clock before Dable called that last timeout, which we saw. We just came up yards short on the kick. Probably have enough time to throw another 5 yard out and try and get a little closer. So we didn't lose. It could have been worse. It was looking bad early, you know, so the roller coaster of emotions of coming back, giving up the lead, silly penalties still hurting us where we don't get that Feliciano penalty.
What in the world was he doing? Can you tell me what it looked like on the TV? Because obviously we were losing our minds celebrating, thought that was the game.
Yeah, like, you're kicking a field goal there. You're at least
right. I mean, the game is over. So what happened?
You see the replay, and I'm sure you guys have seen it by now. He just runs by, and he flexes, and it almost looks like he was flexing to his teammate. But we know how close he was, and with the emphasis on taunting, it's just not something that you could do. He was too close to the Commander players. So even if you're going to sit there and tell me, you know, I was celebrating, you know, the linemen like to get in on it, good for them. They're doing all the hard work. But you do that in the huddle. You do that where it's 10 Giants standing around you, not, you know, the opposition when you're trying to close out the football game.
Talk about an opportunity to really change the perception. Pro Football Focus, again, folks, we're not saying that this is the be-all, end-all, but it's a good baseline, especially, you know, if you don't have access to NFL tape here. Gradenham's the highest offensive player for the Giants with a grade of 82.7. So by all accounts, a fantastic game on the field against a really tough Washington front. And he goes ahead and not only makes this dumbass, you know, situation happen that easily, debatably can cost us the game, has the audacity to go and say shit about the refs at the mic. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think it should be off bounds to criticize referees, but you're a veteran offensive lineman with the game on the line. You're a veteran at all. How can you be so goddamn stupid as to put the no fun league in a position to call that penalty on you? Like, exactly, Tommy. You wait till the huddle after you win the game. Like, I don't know. I don't care.
These officials, I don't think it was the worst game, and I'm definitely not coming at it from a homer Giant fan screaming and yelling at every flag that gets tossed. If you give these referees an opportunity to involve themselves in the game throughout the league, I'm not just talking watching the Giants, I'm talking just watching the NFL on Sunday. You see it over and over again, it happens. Bad calls are made, and you put them in a spot where they need to come through on a point of emphasis that the league's been making these taunting penalties all year. Was it the worst taunting penalty that I've seen this season? No, but you know they're going to call that stuff. You can't do it.
How about the missed delay of game in overtime when they were trying to get the ball back to the line of scrimmage and the Washington player deliberately blocks the Giants player from setting up the ball for the spike?
And yeah, it looks like he's going to grab it out of his hands. Not
it was locker. That and was egregious. Giants, and if you're going to call that shit on Feliciano, you better call that shit and on Washington. And they didn't.
And I believe that was Breida, and he was looking. And the Giant player just had his hands up. There was no call. And, you know,
I mean, you're going to
make a call
just
in one spot where it impacts the game. You got to make Richie in the other spot.
It was Richie James after that phenomenal bullet by Daniel Jones. No worries. We just happened to be in the corner end zone, like very close to where that play was happening, so it was easy to see. All right, so if we're going to come on Glowinski is another offensive lineman that had a terrible game, but if we're going to get on Feliciano about this penalty and how much that changed the outcome of this, again, tie, right? Like I would be so much more upset had they lost, but I would at least know how to feel. It's a very weird feeling, so bear with me. But we have to get on another Giant who is playing well by other accounts that cost them the game. Drops, gentlemen. The game is over. We were losing it in the seats.
Yeah. I was jumping up and down. I thought that was the ball game. And then I see no real celebration on the field. So immediately I'm like, he had to have dropped it. He's not a number one wide receiver. He's played great football for us all year. I don't have the number, but he is second in drop percentage for full-time players in the league this year. I don't have the exact number of.
I saw something like that. At least a positive you could say about the wide receiver room is Isaiah Hodgins is looking like an actual quality, he'd be a good like number two or three guy in the future. He had a touchdown.
Like 6'4", 6'5" body. The Giants.
Yeah, he's not the fastest guy, but he's got a good catch radius. I feel like he was catching a lot of good balls, man. That's at least a great during season addition for this front office.
So we've talked about two of the potentially game swinging or altering plays and decisions. Drops, penalties. Let's talk about the third. So per surrender index, take this for what you will, but we'll use it to debate. The decision by Brian Daboll to punt from the Washington 45 on 4th-and-3 with 1 minute and 42 seconds remaining in overtime was considered in the 99.9th percentile of most cowardly punting decisions since 1999.
Bullshit. Now,
the validity of that source is in question. However, I think the point remains. Daboll's whole thing, Dayballs. Remember what happened to Dayballs?
Yeah,
we go against Tennessee.
I wasn't totally mad at the decision. I think wasn't that the punt that led to like they were inside the five, and then Kayvon Thibodeau had that sack like unguarded.
Party at the Moon Tower
and brought him back to the 1 yard line.
Sure, yeah,
you punted him and you pinned him back deep and. When they came out and lined up, you know, like you said, you guys were there watching on TV. Jonathan Vilma, I think, is slowly becoming one of the better play-by-play or color guys on TV. And he was saying, I can't believe you're going to go for it here. It puts you in a bad spot. And what he was going off of was based on how the offense looked, especially in the second half.
It's all about feel of the game.
We were not moving the ball. Even handing the ball to Saquon. Now, do I think if this is week one, week two, we're looking at this season as this is rebuild, like Tennessee, we're going for two, and the day balls come out, I think he goes for it there, and you try and win the football game at home. Playing where we are now, playing to win the game, and to not do something that's going to cost your team the game based on one coaching decision, I think he made the right call. I just don't know if we're picking up 3 yards there.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't disagree more, but it seems like I'm outnumbered. I think you play to win the game. That was playing to not lose.
Okay, and but
you have an opportunity to take the game.
If I'm not wrong, if I remember correctly, which, the game is a bit blurry. I did watch the condensed game today.
Got on the big board again, this glorious.
I did.
You had a bunch of backlights this weekend.
Tracksuit, mustache, I'm there, baby. But anyway. Wasn't the play right before that when the two of our guys ran into each other behind the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, Barkley and Richie James.
Absolutely abhorrent. I don't know if that's a coaching thing. I don't know if it's Daniel Jones. I don't know if it's their fault.
How could it be Daniel Jones?
I don't know. Listen, dude, we're not in the huddle, man. We don't know the audibles and shit.
Okay, but how could he control two players running into? No, I'm not even going to get upset. We'll have time for that debate, Disciple. But I agree. On a momentous third down, you have your best player in the franchise and Richie freaking James running into each other, and you put yourself in that fourth and three. So I get it. All right, let's wrap this up with some optimism, and then we'll dive into the court. So, you know, the pass rush came alive, boys.
Oh,
I mean.
How about Aziz and Thibodeau together, man? Yeah. I love that combination.
What I was hoping for was Thibodeau having somebody on the other side that is putting the same type of pressure on the quarterback as him. You know, would they free each other up? And I think that we saw that. Watching, though, it's just like we just don't get there. There were three or four times where Heinicke was ready to go down. You were going to hit him. You were going to get his arm. And he gets the ball away, and a bunch of those
down play. My God.
Yeah, we got crushed.
Down pickups. We couldn't close. It looked better, but still, if it was better, we don't finish. We don't finish in a tie, and you know,
Curtis Samuel going off for 100 yards is like unacceptable.
Football coaches, the other football on the other side of the pond. If God would have wanted games to end in a tie, she wouldn't have invented numbers. The great Ted Lasso.
I love a good Ted Lasso reference. Well, okay, so keep it on the positives at least, though, here. Dexy continues his beautiful run here. 9 tackles, a sack, 2 QB hits. But the Julian Love played every single snap, 105 snaps on overall, 85 on defense, 20 on special teams. He had 12 tackles. I mean, they got to re-sign this kid before the rest of the league catches on. He's solid at everything that he does. So, and yeah, Curtis Samuel, it hurt us, but the injuries are catching up, gentlemen. I mean, Xavier McKinney and Adoree Jackson on the field, I think, is the difference in this game. I mean, how many missed tackles were there from the Pinnox and the, Zion Gilberts of the world that were playing?
And that was my thought when Washington was just moving the ball down the field at the end of the game and then at the end of the overtime is. We may not make the playoffs because of one guy that got hurt in Cabo or wherever it was in Mexico and another guy who had to return punts because Richie James, who actually did a great job on Sunday on special teams with the fair catches and the one decent return, those two things could impact us, you know, not making the playoffs. And that's what happens when you have a roster that's not yet there.
So you got to be happy holding them to 20 points. I mean, you know, Brian Robinson ended up with 96 yards on 21 carries, a fairly efficient day, but he didn't kill us. It's the inexperience in the secondary.
Yeah, it's Samuel and McLaurin when going up against our 3 and 4 cornerbacks.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you're going to lose that battle. I mean, there's a reason we were talking about the trio of them coming into this game as being the biggest matchup. And you have to be happy with what you saw from the defensive line, and hopefully they can keep it going. And this is just the start, but there's a long way to go between coaching and a variety of other things, whether it's referees, player stupidity, Giants' inability to protect Daniel Jones. So with that,
wait, can I just – I just want to put one more thing out there before we move on.
Yo, get in there.
Hey, Copernicus. A lot of people want to get on Mike Kafka, and rightfully so. It was a bad game for him. But I think we need to remember, in the grand scheme of things this year, last year the Giants – in the last 2 years, the Giants are bottom two, bottom three, or one of the worst red zone – efficiency offenses in the league. This year, I'm pretty sure they're like 14th. So, like, that's still pretty good compared to what it used to be. You know, it's a bad game for him, but, you know, at least we didn't lose. We didn't win, but at least we didn't lose. It sucks. It's either the tie is either going to save us or screw us in the playoff race.
And I mean, all it means is that the next game is yet again a must win, and we'll discuss it. And as we discuss, though, that bye puts us in a tough position. Yeah.
But, and the Giant fans love to get all over the offensive coordinator, sometimes rightfully so, Jason Garrett. You know, we won Super Bowls with Kevin Gilbride, and everyone wanted him gone the next year or the next week. So, I mean, it's Kafka's first year calling plays. I don't think he's completely on his own. I think Dable's heavily involved in the play calling. I'm not looking to put it all on on Mike Kafka as to why we lost when we made some of the silly mistakes on the field that we made.
I think that it's fair to say that perhaps he's hit the proverbial rookie coaching wall, but I agree. When you're stepping in the shadow of Jason Garrett, we should be thanking our lucky stars that this team is getting this amount of production out of this offensive talent. So, hey, you can be upset, Giants fans. There's rightfully holes to poke into it, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to be happy with this coaching staff. Now, let's get to the main event, our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. So Daniel Jones' entire season is an audition to be the long-term answer. Jones is 7-4-1. However, until a new contract is signed, the jury is still out.
Well, this was definitely an efficient game for Daniel Jones. He had a pretty high completion percentage. He did lose that fumble. What was that, the opening drive, if I'm not correct? If I remember,
how many plays in was it, Rahway? I could barely get my drink and turn around before
there was like 13. It was like 14 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah, they moved the ball a little bit, you know, a couple plays, and then
it was at midfield. You know, it was at like the 45 yard line of the Giants too.
And it was a different fumble. It wasn't him running for his life and making a stupid play with the ball, holding it out where it shouldn't have been. He was doing what was designed. It looked like a design run. And when he got hit right on the football. I don't know if it was a helmet right to the ball, but I mean, the contact was right to, you know, the football that he had carried, you know, fairly tight to his body. I don't think he was being sloppy with the ball. He's been a lot smarter. Some of the sacks that he took, I was shaking my head and wishing for him to get rid of the ball, get it out of bounds, get it downfield where you're not going to throw an interception and not give up, the big sack yardage and kill the drive, but 80%. And his first incompletion was that spike to kill the clock at the end of the first half. So
yeah, he was 17-for-18 coming into there. And like Disciple said, high completion rating, more specifically 25-for-31, 80% completion rating, 200 yards, a touchdown, and throw it on in there. The Giants leading rusher, 12 rushes for 71 yards. And womp womp, the fumble. But Rahway, it sounds like, to your point, obviously can't happen. You can't fumble, go down 3-0, go down 10-0 early. It's a huge momentum swing. Sucked the life out of the Giants crowd right out the beginning. But it sounds like we're not pointing to this as, hey, oh, this is another Daniel Jones fumble or fumble Ruski situation. It's Jonathan Allen made a good play, got a head on a hat or a hat on a head, whatever the damn expression is, and the ball came out. Is that a fair?
Yeah, and I mean, you were playing against that defensive line that has played well and is a great defensive line, puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, and that was his biggest, I think, mistake of the day, was that fumble, which, you know, I think was more the Washington defense than Daniel Jones, you know. Not to make excuses for the guy, but he took a shot. He fumbled the football. We don't want it to happen. But
there's a chance that happens anytime he runs. Anytime any player runs.
You know. If Saquon gets hit like that, does the ball come out? You know, it could come out. So,
well, speaking of Saquon, so let's pivot to that real quick. I know we're in the Jones Court, but I think we continuously talk about these two together. One, because the common conception or perception out there is that Daniel Jones has even had this mediocre floor because of the brilliance of Saquon. And additionally, they're both up for contract this year, so it's natural to talk about. Giants fans, boys, talk me off the cliff. We officially have a Saquon problem. This is the third game in a row that he has been a complete non-factor. Yes, he has the touchdown. Thank God for fantasy purposes. But 18-for-61, 3.5 average. I think it articulates your point you said earlier. We weren't even possibly thinking about handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley in the most important moment of the game, because why would we?
He had a tough day outside of that touchdown. You know, like you said, you know, salvaged the day for a lot of fantasy owners. But when we needed him, you know, even at the end there, when you're trying to move the ball with, you know, a minute plus left on the clock, we throw the ball three times. And that Slayton play happens and we go down and basically run the same play again. And then, you know, going back to what I said about DJ, he does make another mistake there and almost was intercepted trying to force that third down in. Between the play calling and the decision-making, you know, we didn't even give who's supposed to be our best player a shot with the football. But I don't want to get away from Daniel Jones.
No, I think the reason I bring it up, though, is that all of this talk is, I think about how we're talking about our receivers. We were just talking about the offensive line. Glowinski led up 2 sacks. And Rawa, you said you had some questions about some of the sacks he took. Just talking about the speed, Jones had the 3rd fastest time to throw in the NFL on Sunday, 2.47 seconds. That was a full half second nearly jumped up from his season average of 3.01. So he wasn't holding on to the ball. They styled the game plan to get the ball out fast, and he still took 4 sacks and had to be the team's leading rusher, supporting everybody. I mean, this roster has no offensive talent, and the interior offensive line is simply outmatched. Like, the Commanders have a very strong, stout up front. We covered it last week. But this is not – we're going to be playing fronts like this every other week in the NFL. This kid, to have 25 for 31, 200 yards, a TD, and be your team's leading rusher, like, what more do you want to ask from him? And so let's dive in. We talk about the fumble. We're going to put that on DJ, good play or not. Darius Slayton, it's a drop. Somebody change my mind. Put the meme up there. Change my goddamn mind, because this is the 2nd week in a row that people want to throw something out. The Daniel Jones throw had something to do with a drop from a Giants player. And this one is nowhere near close to the debate of the Saquon Barkley.
No, absolutely. It's a Darius Slayton drop. You hate to see it. It was at a really, really bad time. He looked like he caught it. Then you see this Commanders players doing their no-fly zone arm thing. And you're like, fuck. He didn't catch that, did he? So, yeah, no, it's a drop. It was a good ball by Jones, man. It's got to be caught. That's it. But it just goes to show that receiver room is a problem.
Disciple, I'm impressed that you even saw that. I was too busy. Disciple and I were in the lounge and in MetLife, gentlemen, and we were having a time of our lives, and I was celebrating like a lunatic when Slayton dropped the ball.
So I was actually in the car on the way home by then.
Oh, that's right.
My dad takes the RV to the game, and he wants to be out with 3 minutes left in the 4th quarter. I get it. He can't. Like, we tailgate after. We didn't get home till like 9 o'clock, dude. It's just.
So if you're looking for someone to blame, you can blame Disciple for messing with the mojo. We'll give that.
There wasn't much mojo to mess up. Let's be honest, dude. Jesus Christ.
You know, when we're talking about all this, though, with DJ and this contract that we're going to get to, if we, you know, when we put our Joe Shane suits on.
Do it right now, Rahway. Yeah. You're walking yourself into the spotlight, baby.
We have other guys to think of. Like, we brought up Saquon, and what's it going to cost to bring him back? Dexter Lawrence continues to play himself into more money and into somebody that's going to be highly sought after throughout the league. I mean, Jonathan Vilma was calling him the best defensive tackle in football at one point. And I know there's a guy out in, you know, Los Angeles, Aaron Donald, that might want to argue with that, but their season's not going the way they wanted it to. The Giants are getting a little attention, but we have to be able to spread money out. You know, so I'm sitting down with Daniel Jones and his people, and I'm still at that 3-year, $75 to $80 million for 3 years, and keep him on a lower number. You know, I don't think we could go up into, you know, the 30s, because it's just going to cost you other players that you want to keep around and you want to add. There's not that I want to see Saquon leave, but if he were to, you're starting to see there's options out there. A Josh Tony Pollard. Jacobs, you know, there's other guys out there.
Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard.
I mean. Yeah, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, guys that are not going to get the franchise tag. They're not going to be transitioned. They're going to be free agents. You know, so, but I think if we come in a respectable number, 3 years, $75 to $80 million for Daniel Jones. Also, with the Jimmy G injury, that costs him a lot of money. I still think he's a guy that if we improve the offensive line, would give us a bargaining position if a guy like that is on the market.
That's the only scenario I see it. If he comes at a discount rate and is healthy, sure, I don't see him as a value add with this roster. But if it's the difference of Daniel Jones won't accept something reasonable and you can get him on the cheap, I think that's an acceptable bridge. Yeah. But
somebody's paying Daniel Jones $30 million, you got to go somewhere else.
Season ends today. You're Joe Shane. What is it? What's the decision?
All right, so I'm kind of changing my mind from last week. I don't know if the other options are going to be good. I don't know if the putting a rookie quarterback out there. I don't know if we're going to do that whole Jimmy G thing. I was a little emotional last week, and rightfully so. After losing another one of the Cowboys in front of the country, I'm gonna go. I'd really like to keep it at 2 years, and I'll keep the number at the highest I'm going is 48. Absolute top dollar.
Wow, we're really flip-flopping here this week because I think I've actually come down to reality. Don't get me wrong. I am still full board on next year. Daniel Jones is the best option for this New York Football Giants team. But I've done some soul-searching, and I think really what has Daniel Jones done in this league that a guy like Jameis Winston hasn't. And I think the two-year $28 million contract that he has with the Saints, that should be the start. So wow. I think something reasonable.
Wow. Wow. Mac, oh my God.
I know it's crazy, but the more I think about it, you know, he's a young kid. The argument could be, hey, stay here.
You still got a lot to prove.
You got a lot to prove. What place can you succeed better than where we're going to keep investing in you? And you have another year, for the love of God, finally, in a modern offensive system. You make some money now and be set up at 27 years old to get a monster contract. So that's where I'm going. Jameis Winston, two-year, $28 million. Book it. Sign him today.
Wow.
And with that, the court is adjourned. Now, as our favorite former defensive coordinator would say, we're on to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough matchup, man. I mean,
40-3.
I was surprised that the Giants are only, I think it's 6.5 or 7.5, depending where you look, point underdogs for this game, which is of kind of a generous number. I feel like the Eagles have very high blowout potential against a team like the Giants. Hate to say it, you know, there's going to be a lot of fucking Eagles fans there. It's gonna be tough.
You going down to Seville?
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll track suit and all. You're gonna come over to Lot D?
You're gonna be there too?
Oh, we're doing a big, baby.
Oh my God, dude. Holy shit. All right, I'm coming.
B Bad is rolling it big in Lot D. Hit us up at B Bad. I don't know, you handle the Twitter.
At B Bad Pod.
That's the one. I know it. Come on down and join us. That might be the best part of the night. But by the transitive property of the NFL, the Washington Commanders beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants tied the Washington Commanders. So, ipso facto, we got a chance. Tommy, does that math add up? You're in education.
New math. It's new math. We'll see. I think, you know, if we could play well defensively, I think this game goes one of two ways. I think it's tight and our hearts get broken at the end because we played a nice game. We stayed in it. And kind of like what happened on Thanksgiving in Dallas, you know, the talent takes over and we fall apart, you know, fourth quarter or late, or we get the doors blown off.
Yeah. AJ Brown versus Fabian Moreau is a very unfavorable matchup for us.
Devontae Smith against whoever we pick up off the street is also not
the cloud. It's probably going to be in the cloud, right?
The Eagles, you know, and Hurts, you know, really hasn't had a bad game all year. You hope for a clunker, but I don't think it happens. I think that it's going to be a tough day in East Rutherford, New Jersey on Sunday. This is, you're looking at, depending on whose rankings you look at, you know, one of the top, you know, two or three teams in the NFL. They had a week against, you know, the Commanders where they didn't play well, but if we only put up 20 points, are we beating this team? I don't see how that's happening.
Yeah, I want to talk about strengths and weaknesses and poke holes at things, but even the one weakness you could point to, their rushing defense, they've really shored up over the last couple of weeks. They got some veteran help with Ndamukong Suh and our old friend. Why am I blanking on our
Linval buddy? Joseph.
Linval Joseph, of course. But, I mean, this defense has five players with five or more sacks. Hassan Reddick leading the way with 9. Fletcher Cox, by the way, who is still playing, with 5. And a couple people in between. I mean, they are stacked. Darius Slay, our old friend James Bradbury. We talked about just two of their wide receivers. I mean, Dallas Goedert is got to be a top 5 tight end in the NFL. They are just getting it done in literally every phase of the game. I think the only thing that we can look to is that Jordan Mailata is not the best left tackle. And Landon Dickerson, I don't have any stats to back it up, but I saw a couple plays where he looked like he got tossed around like a rag doll. And I know he came out of a highly touted prospect. Like, but am I just trying to convince myself that those are the best ways that we might be able to win? I'm at a loss here.
Yeah.
3,500 yards total offense and 29 touchdowns.
What do the Giants have?
Jalen, and that's Jalen Hurts. You know, that's what we're – he's up for the MVP.
That's all Jalen Hurts.
That's all Jalen Hurts.
That's all right. We're finished.
Almost 3,000 yards in the air, 600 on the ground with 9 touchdowns, 20 that he's thrown. So the guy's at, you know, 3,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions.
He has 20-3, and also 0 fumbles lost.
Yeah, I don't see where. You know, unless, you know, our defensive pass rush has the game of their lives, as well as Thibodeau's been playing, I think that secondary will be exposed. You know, we got some guys back last week, obviously, you know, Aziz and, you know, some depth in the defensive backfield with Tony Jefferson, who made a nice play on a third down. But is he going to make these plays against A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Miles Sanders, and Jalen Hurts? I don't have a lot to be optimistic for. I feel like, you know, I'll be watching a Ben McAdoo, Joe Judge led team, but at least I know while I'm watching, we have Joe Shane, we have Brian Daboll, but I just don't think we have the talent on the roster to be competitive. Leonard Williams,
yeah.
What's his situation with the neck? You know, that was something he was dealing with early in the week.
Right. Can we not catch a break? We were talking about for once having all four of the defensive linemen together shows what we could possibly be. Although the Commander's offensive line is nowhere near what the Eagles is, and they lost 2 starters, I believe, during that game. But still, Williams only plays 35 snaps due to a neck injury and is sore. So we don't know what he is either. But all right. I think we can agree, as much as it pains me, to say this, the Eagles right now are unquestionably the most complete and best team in the NFL. That's a fact. But they are not unbeatable. So now it's time for our segment, 4 Down Territory. Each week, we will look at the top 4 factors that will decide the Giants' fate. This week, the Eagles are coming to town.
We got to – I was saying it earlier with our pass rush and the blitz. We have to get there and finish the play. That was Taylor Heinicke that was able to run around and create, you know, length on these plays where he could find a receiver that would get open late against a poor secondary. You're going to give Jalen Hurts, who's up for the MVP right now, has phenomenal numbers, extra time to get rid of the football. If we don't get to him, I don't see a way that we can be successful on Sunday. So Aziz, Jimenez, and Kayvon Thibodeau, we have to get to the pass rush. We have to get to the quarterback with the pass rush. Hopefully, Wink can draw up some schemes where the defensive backs are coming in. We saw him do that on Sunday, where guys are showing, they're dropping back, create some confusion, but we have to finish the play.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I had a count for how many times we were just seconds away from, you know, finishing them off. The pass rush, I think it's all about that. I think it makes the secondary look a lot better. Puts a nice shine on a poor position group.
Wink is going to have to dial it up, because as positive we were, Lane Johnson and Travis Kelce, or excuse me, Jason Kelce, forgive me, represent massive upgrades from what they face on the Commander. So couldn't agree with you more, Rodway. All right, second down, Decibel, what do you got?
Second down for me is special teams need to come up big. We need, if we're going to be punting, we have got to be pinning them back, giving them a long field. You know, Graham Gano, as much as it pained me that he couldn't – that field goal, the 58-yarder to win, just ran out of gas. We got to be able to put up points in other ways. Dare I say Richie James for a return touchdown? God, that would be great. It's going to be a tough game, and that's a phase we need to win.
Third down, back to you, Tommy.
You know, the silly penalties, I think we did a better job, earlier in the game, You know, 10 minutes to go in the game, we have two back-breaking penalties. They need to stop. You know, guy plays a great game, blows it all with one stupid penalty. It's just – it's things that we can't do with a roster that's presently being reconstructed. And we're playing competitive football, but we got to remember, with the roster we have, those are the things that we need to be perfect on.
So for fourth down, it's got to be – we have got to hit those explosive downfield plays. I mean – absolutely. You tried it to Slayton, and it worked that one time, I believe, on the left sideline. But it's just we just need more if we're gonna be able to compete with a team like the Eagles.
Let's roll right into Huge Predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Fusillo Automotive, but we're working on it. So if you know their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. Now this week, the panel is predicting who's going to get the second and third wild card spot. So, quick recap. Eagles 11-1, Cowboys 9-2, they're locks. Minnesota 10-2, got the North buttoned up. The Bucks at a 6-6 after a meltdown from the Saints, I won't get into it, lead the South, but they are obviously not getting a second wild card there. So, gentlemen, we got the 49ers, Seahawks, Commanders, losers of the West, the Lions, the Giants, everybody jockeying for position. Who's making it? What do you got?
I think we're in. I think we're going to beat Washington. I think we lose this week. I think we beat the Commanders in the rematch. The Colts look awful. I think we get our ninth win. And we have that classic number from the old 16-game schedule, 9-7, with the tie. We get in at 9-7-1. And I think you're looking at the 49ers and the Seahawks. One of them wins the division. The other is that other wild card team. And at 9-7-1, if the Seahawks finish 9-8, the tie helps us and we're in. So that head to head might not come into play because we didn't lose. Whereas if we were tied at 9-8, you know, they might be up on us. But I think the 49ers, I think this will be a little bit of a bold prediction for them. I think with what they have there, if Purdy can play like he played on Sunday, I think they still end up, they did enough.
Baker Mayfield is starting up Thursday.
That's insane that he just got picked up today and he's already going to be starting Thursday. Like, talk about a short week, short turnaround.
And talk about sticking it to your division rival, the Rams, going out and putting in the claim, knowing that the San Francisco 49ers probably claim him.
Oh, of course. You have to do it. You got to be petty towards each other in the division. You know, I'm going to have to agree with Rahway here. I mean, is it crazy? I hate to be this guy. I really, really hate to be this guy. But is it crazy for us to hope that the Eagles lock up the one seed and rest their starter the last week of the year?
That's the best possible scenario. Potentially the only scenario.
It's unfortunate. I mean, you know, hopefully we can, you know, steal one from the Vikings too, man.
I think that gives us a little wiggle room. However, I think these teams are now starting to lean more towards playing some starters, especially if they have that bye and they know they have the last week off. Do they play the whole game? I don't think so. I think they treat it like a preseason game. But we would have to come out, play well enough in the first half to be in the football game to close out and win the second half and be able to win in Philly, you know, on the last day of the year. So
hopefully, well, since this is huge predictions, I'm going to go the opposite way, boys, because it's just in my heart. And I hate that that's the case. But it's going to be the Commanders and, dare I say it, the Detroit Lions.
Oh, shut
this team
up,
is on
up.
A meteor. They're on a rocket ship right now. They're going to win out and come from behind and take over both the Giants and the San Francisco 49ers playing Baker Mayfield, booty cheeks Baker Mayfield, even though that team isn't much of all-stars. However, the Commanders, it's just too far a battle to climb. This team is getting healthier with Jamar Chase, the other Chase, coming back on the D-line. They have 3 weeks in a row to game plan for the Giants, and they nearly took the game at home here. The Giants are going to get beat up by Philadelphia and have to go down to Washington. I just don't see it, boys. I hate to end on a low note, but I'm going with the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders.
Oh. But
let's not bicker over who killed who, gentlemen, because let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL is simply not aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For the Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.